Haggai chapter 1, verses 1 through 15. The Israelites who returned from exile with Zerubbabel and Joshua rebuilt the altar and laid the foundation for the temple, the house of the Lord. But when opposition arose, when their enemies did everything they could to force them to stop, the Israelites gave up rebuilding the temple. Now, the Bible doesn't explicitly state that the Lord was patient. It doesn't say, and the Lord was patient with them. It doesn't explicitly state that he was patient and that he was merciful to them. But the timeline shows that it was about 16 years after they stopped rebuilding the temple that the Lord spoke to the people through his prophet Haggai. And you wonder, why didn't the Lord speak in the first year that they stopped? He knew. He knew what was in their hearts. He knew what their fears and concerns were. He knew why they had stopped as such. He knew their hearts better than they knew their hearts. But he waited 16 years. And I think it speaks to us of the patience of the Lord. The Lord waits so that none may perish. He gives us the opportunity to return to him. He gives us the opportunity to repent. And so keep that in mind, that after 16 years, the Lord speaks through his prophet Haggai. And so let's read in Haggai chapter 1, starting there in verse 1. In the second year of King Darius, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest. This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say, the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai, is it time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin? Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not worn. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build my house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be a little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why, declares the Lord Almighty, because of my house which remains a ruin while each of you is busy with your own house. Therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew and the earth its crops. I called for a drought on the fields and the mountains, on the grain, the new wine, the olive oil, and everything else the ground produces, on people and livestock, and on all the labor of your hands. Then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the whole remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the message of the prophet Haggai, because the Lord their God had sent him, and the people feared the Lord. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave this message of the Lord to the people, I am with you, declares the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of the whole remnant of the people. They came and began to work on the house of the Lord Almighty their God on the 24th day of the sixth month. Now, we know very little from the Bible about Haggai. The Bible gives no account of his personal life. It doesn't say this is who he was and where he was born and this is his family, his children. There's no description of how he was called by the Lord. No report of when he died or how he died, where he died. Haggai chapter 2 suggests that he may have been old enough to have seen the first temple. So here we are multiple years later, and maybe he had, you know, he's old enough to have seen the first temple. But regardless of our not knowing much about Haggai, we do know that the Lord used him for a very important purpose. to revitalize the Israelites, to get them restarted in rebuilding the temple. The peoples of the land had opposed the Israelites and forced them to stop building the house of the Lord. However, and this is important to notice, the Israelites don't seem to have appealed the king's order or actively resisted the opposition to continue building. They started out saying, "We'll do this. Our Lord has called us to do this. We will build the church, the temple. We will rebuild the house of the Lord." But when the opposition increased, when the nature of the opposition became more intense, when it wasn't simply, "Oh, we'll come and partner with you," but it was deceptive to try to stop the work, when it escalated, when that opposition started to escalate, the children of Israel stopped. And they don't seem to have made an attempt to restart. They had justifiable excuses. They had valid reasons for stopping. But here, as the Lord's rebuke through Haggai makes clear, the children of Israel gave in to their fears. They were discouraged enough to lose faith, to lose confidence in the Lord. And most importantly, their priorities shifted from what the Lord desired to what their hearts desired. And so they stopped. Well, which brings us to this point that rebuilding requires right priorities. You see, when our priorities are no longer determined by what the Lord commanded us to do, we start to turn our attention from the Lord's house to our own houses. In verse 4, the Lord asks, "Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin?" In other words, they had abandoned the work on the house of the Lord to not only build their own houses, but also to upgrade them with paneling. Paneling was not the common thing. That was reserved primarily or typically in the temple or in the king's palace or so on. But here they were getting some luxury upgrades in their houses. They were focused on that. They were looking out for their own well-being by their own effort. But let me be very clear. This is not a scold to say don't live in good houses and don't do paneling in your houses. That's not what the takeaway from this point is. God's not saying don't have a house. He's saying, what is your priority? You see, the point is that our time is taken up if we're busy with building and paneling our house over and above or as a higher priority than obeying the Lord to build His house. Now, for the children of Israel, the command was very specific. Return to Jerusalem, rebuild the altar, rebuild the house of the Lord, reestablish the worship of Yahweh. In our lives, it may be a different command that the Lord has given us. It's not specific to building something, maybe. It's not specific about a structure. We're not looking for that. This is not a message that's leading up to a fundraising effort, right? We're not looking for what is the physical activity. But in each one of our lives, there is something that the Lord has commanded us to do, to build. Maybe it's to build up your own life. Maybe there's a discipline that needs to be applied in your life personally. Maybe there's something that needs to be built up in your family. Family prayer time, raising the children, doing something else, paying attention to that. Maybe it is for your physical body to be disciplined about what you would eat and drink as to the glory of God, that you would be building and taking care of this temple of the Holy Spirit, your physical body. Maybe there is some other command that the Lord has given you to reach out to your family members, to those that may be in some way estranged or whatever is going on. Maybe there's some other area, maybe in the workplace, maybe in your neighborhood, maybe with ministry, maybe on mission, maybe on whatever the Lord has called you to do, that He has commanded you and that He has given you the favor to start into that endeavor, regardless of the opposition. Whatever that may be, the question this morning that I have for you is this. Are you building your houses and paneling the walls as a higher priority than what the Lord has commanded you to do? Are you involved in something else that is taking up your time and effort? Because, as verse 2 states, we will say, the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. If we are distracted, if we are focused on what we are building, if we are at, you know, sort of giving all our strength and energy and resources to something else, we will say, the time has not yet come to build the Lord's house. The time has not yet come to do what this thing that the Lord has asked me. You know, it was as the man that came to Jesus, he said, let me go bury my father or bury my parents or take care of all the family things and then I'll come and follow you. And Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. Now, he wasn't being sarcastic. He wasn't being mean. He was making the point that your priorities are not in order. If you have decided that you are going to follow me, then come, follow me. Don't say, I have a higher priority. I will take care of all those things, and then I'll come and follow you. Again, should you take care of your parents? Yes, you should. Should you take care of the houses that you live in? Yes, you should. Should you make sure that you are doing a job according to the necessities or the requirements of that job with excellence? Yes, you should. So the Bible is not telling you to neglect those things. The Bible is asking the question, what is your priority? What is your heart set on? Because you see, there is never a good time to do what is not a high enough priority. If that is not your high priority, if something is not your high priority, there's never a good time. You will always have something else that will take precedence over that activity. There will always be something in your life that demands attention, that demands your resources. So there will never be a good time. That, you know, you can never say, oh, and if you are saying to yourself, when I do these 10 things, then I'll spend more time in reading the Bible. When I can do these particular things, then I'll devote myself to prayer. When I've completed these specific activities, then I'll go to some more of the church's activities or meetings or something, or build community in the church or do something else. When I have more time. But right now, oh, I'm really busy. Well, there will never be a good time. There will never be a good time where you say, oh, everything's lined up. Everything is in place. Now I'll go rebuild the house of the Lord. There will always be something more urgent, something demanding your attention and effort, something more interesting. Right? You know, that movie that just came out, oh, that just seems a little bit more interesting than trying to go to the crusade. Right? That you will have something that comes up. And once again, let me be very clear. I am not at all saying that you can't have any of those activities. But where is the priority? What is your heart set on? And so a couple of just very simple statements to make about this. We need to be people of God who regularly review the life list. What is on our life list? What do we think that we need to be doing right now? What is that list? Maybe you've never written it down. Maybe you don't have it in your phone, in your reminders that says this, this, and this. But there is a narrative in your head. There is a list that's there. And you're working through that list. You're saying, I need to do this, and this, and this, and this, and not so much about this. And then if I have time, I'll do this, this, and this. Now again, you may not have articulated that, but there is a list. And the question that I want to ask you is, what is that list? We need to regularly review that. And we're going to come to this point just in just a second about considering our ways. But right now, I want to ask you, what is the season of life that you're in? And what is it that the Lord has called you to do right now? What do you know of the Lord that you need to be doing? maybe something very complex, maybe something very simple. It's not the nature of the task that is going to determine whether you do it or not. It is the nature of the call. Is this something God has asked you to do? Then He will empower you to do it. He will bring the resources for you. He will accomplish His purpose. But what is it that the Lord has called you to do? And again, for a young mother, it may be to care for those children. And for a newly married couple, it may be to invest into building up that marriage. It for somebody in a new job, it may be to learn and to excel and to be diligent. And so again, it's going to look very different in each person's life. But you've got to evaluate and say, what is the Lord calling me to do? That calling will determine your activity. It will determine how you spend your time. It will determine where you direct your resources, or what where you direct the resources the Lord puts into your hand. So that is important. As we do this, as we think about what it is that we're paying attention to or how we're prioritizing, I want to point out to you, and we talked about this actually in the 9 o'clock session and just a little bit too, there has to be the peace of God that guards your heart and mind, that is the umpire, the referee, the arbiter of whether you are following God's plan. You should not be doing something out of pressure. You shouldn't be saying, oh, I have this list. How did you come up with the list? Oh, you know, my pastor said this, my spouse said this, my children did this, my boss said this, so this is my list. You will do the things on that kind of a list out of pressure. You will say, oh, I have to do this. Everybody's on me for this. I better get this done. But if you have a list that is because you say, this is what the Lord has asked me to do, you will do it with His peace. And so there needs to be that kind of balance, that kind of calm, that kind of peace that determines how you engage in the activities that you're involved in on a daily basis. Again, it could be in all areas of life, but you are letting the Holy Spirit guide and direct your steps with the peace of God through the presence of the Holy Spirit and the relationship with the Prince of Peace. That's what's governing you and governing your actions. That's a whole different experience than giving into pressure. I feel the pressure, therefore I'm doing this. Versus, I'm at peace, and as I do this, the Lord will do His work. Now, what happens when our priorities are wrong? When our priorities are wrong, there's never a good time. But here's the other thing that this passage points out. When our priorities are wrong, our purses have holes. When our priorities are not what God calls us to, our purses have holes. When we've talked about biblical money management, we've talked about the idea that we need to be stewards of the Lord's resources, right? We're not owners, we are managers. We don't say, I have this much money. We say, the Lord has entrusted this much money or resources into my hand. Lord, what do you want me to do with this? Where does this go? How does it go? When does it go? All of that. And so we are stewards. And as part of being stewards, we live with a budget, we manage debt, we are investing and saving, we give generously as the Lord directs, but we are very deliberate to know what happens with everything that is put into our hands. When we don't live like that, according to the principles of the Word of God, our purses have holes. How many times at the end of the month have you come to the look at your bank balance or look at whatever's going on and you say, where did the money go? What happened? Why did we suddenly end up with a deficit? If you don't know how to answer that question, then come back to the Lord to say, Lord God, you help me to manage these resources as your steward, to invest in that which you have called me to invest, so that there is no loss, no leaking, no holes. You see, when we put our resources into the things of this world, if you've gone through any kind of investment vehicle with a brokerage firm, they will tell you, there's big bold print even on the prospectus that says, You are investing at your own risk. Risk. You know, you are investing at your own risk. You put $100 in, no guarantee that we'll give you $100 back. We promise to give you $1,000, but hey, if you lose your whole $100, you're doing it at your own risk. What do? We say, oh, risk worth taking. And we put our resources into all sorts of things. And then we find that there is loss. There is something that depletes. The Lord says, you expected much. You planted much. And you expected much, but you harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but you're not warm. You earn wages, only to put it in a hole, in a purse with holes in it. So there is a need for us to be diligent, to be disciplined, to be applying biblical principles, and to believe the Lord that which he has entrusted into our hands and we will invest into the kingdom of God will have the return that he intends. Because when we plant according, when we give according, when we are investing according to the Lord's direction, he brings the increase, not us. We can trust him. Not even in terms of what we see in the world around us or how we measure success of an investment, but rather to say, Lord God, the harvest of souls, the harvest in your kingdom, the building up of the kingdom of God, the advancing of the kingdom of God, I see that this is happening because of what you entrusted in my hands. We're able to invest in that which the Lord has called us to. By the way, this comment about you put your money or you put your wages in a purse with holes in it, and the description that is there, it also speaks to our lack of contentment or satisfaction. What do we say when we do something for God? We say, oh, sow and you will reap. And therefore, what is our expectation? If I do something for God, oh, he has to do something for me. That's not the point of this message and this passage. This is not to say, invest and you will get 100-fold. The Lord may very well do that because he finds you faithful to be a good steward of what he puts in your hand. So he gives you the increase and you do the next thing with it. But the expectation should not be, oh, I will get more, but rather I will be entrusted with greater responsibility according to the Lord's call, according to his wisdom, according to his work in me. As I am transformed into his image, oh, then he puts more into my hand because he can trust me to do the right thing with it. So here, our lack of satisfaction or our lack of contentment comes because we are doing things in our strength, according to our wisdom, according to our desires. We are living in paneled houses. So, that brings us to the point that is mentioned in both verse 5 and verse 7. We have to give careful thought to our ways. The ESV renders it, consider your ways. Give careful thought to your ways. Take inventory of what's happening. Review the list of your life in this season of life. Am I doing what the Lord has called me to do? Have I been faithful in the small things so that he will entrust to me the bigger things? Have I been obedient to his call? And have I done those things in such a way that it is for the good of others, the building up of the kingdom, and the furthering of his purpose and plan? His purpose and plan, his will that is absolutely there for my life personally, but for not just for me selfishly, for everybody. For the world as a whole, am I investing and living with that kind of deliberate action? Doesn't matter what age you are. Doesn't matter what season of life you're in. This question is valid, and there is a valid response from the Lord so that he leads and guides and directs our steps to do this, to do it with strength, which means that it brings us to our point of application this morning, that we respond and apply the word of God that we have heard by not stopping, but by continuing to build. And you know, this, the work that the Lord has called us to, it doesn't end with just some, just a specific season. We are always being built up by the Lord. We are always being transformed. We are continually being made righteous, sanctified by Him. And therefore, until the day you die, we've got to keep building. We've got to continue to build. But what is it that this passage reminds us to do? It encourages us, it challenges us to continue to build with obedience, the fear of the Lord, and the stirring of the Holy Spirit. Listen to verse 12 to 15 again, just one more time to go through this so that the point is made. Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, son Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the whole remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the message of the prophet Haggai because the Lord their God had sent him. And the people feared the Lord. They were in respect, in awe, in reverence of the Lord. They saw the Lord for who He is. He was in the right place. He was the highest priority. He was above all their circumstances. They feared the Lord. This is not living in, you know, in the fear as the world will describe, but this is the right positioning before God as He would describe. So they feared the Lord. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave this message of the Lord to the people. I am with you, declares the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of the whole remnant of the people. They came and began to work on the house of the Lord Almighty, their God, on the 24th day of the sixth month. What do we need to be praying for? What do we need to be asking the Lord for? Lord, help me to be obedient. Help me to be quick to obey. Help me to know your call. Help me to wait on you and hear from you. Help me to know that this is the way that you want me to go. But when you show me that, let me be obedient. Let me walk in your ways. Let me be obedient to you. Let me, Lord, be filled with the fear of the Lord that is the beginning of wisdom. Let me be filled with the awe and the reverence for God that puts God first. Priority, highest priority in my life. Let me be, Lord, living in such a way that people who see me know that I am devoted to you, devoted to prayer, devoted to the church, devoted to your purpose and your plan. Let the fear of the Lord be in me. And then let me, Lord, be someone in whom the Holy Spirit is stirring. Let me be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let me manifest the power and the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. Let me give evidence to who the Lord is through signs and wonders that are worked through me. Let the Holy Spirit be stirring in me. Doesn't matter what age, what physical condition you are, what resources you have, nothing. Nothing. You are able to say, to call out to the Lord, stir in me. Work in me. Every single day of my life, Lord, oh, I want to wake up in the morning and be stirred up by the Holy Spirit. I want to go to bed at night stirred up by the Holy Spirit. Not so that you won't sleep, but so that you will sleep in good peace. When you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, you will be anxious all night. But when you are stirred up by the Holy Spirit, filled with His peace and filled with His presence, oh, you sleep right away. The Lord gives you sleep. And so we pray and we say, Lord God, help me to continue to build, to continue to do what you have called me to. Help me to rebuild the house of the Lord as you have purposed because I obey, because I fear you, because I'm stirred by the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, we thank you that, Lord, your word enables us, Lord, to take courage, to take heart. Father, I thank you that you are patient with us. That, Lord, maybe it is 16 years, maybe it's far less, maybe it's 16 days, maybe it's 16 hours since we last obeyed you. But whatever the period of time may be, and whenever it has happened in our lives, for every one of us, Lord, we can look back and we can see that we have been disobedient, that we have not been purposeful and intentional and disciplined and obedient to what you have asked us to do. And so, Lord, when we complain that we don't know what we should do, that we haven't heard from you, help us to first go and review and, Lord, evaluate whether we've really done what you, the last thing that you asked us to do. And when we have done what you have asked us, I thank you, Lord, that you continue to lead and to guide us, that the Holy Spirit speaking, Lord, right there, the voice that says to us, this is the way, walk in it. You will guide and direct our next step. And so without anxious thought, without anxiety for the future, I thank you, Lord, that as we live in this way, you will direct our steps to fulfill your purpose and your call and to build with intentionality, with purpose, Lord, with strength, with confidence. Lord, stir us up. Stir us up, Lord, to live in that way. We thank you, Lord, that you are at work in each one of us and in us collectively. We ask this together this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.